We're going to try to develop some real men, character, sense control, determination, rather than the wimpy version that is common fare in this day and age of Kali. We discussed this with many of you at Otaki, how men today have no backbone because they have no sense control. They think they've created a very convenient society in which women are free to plunder and volunteer to be plundered. But the men have not realized that in the process of making such a society, the men have become so weak. Their minds are very fickle. They can't command any respect because they can't control their senses. We're going to try to encourage the development of men, regardless of whatever ashram you choose in your life, men who are dedicated to getting out of the grip of material nature. That takes effort. It takes work. It takes determination. You can't just, you know, go to sleep on the job. You've got to embrace this mission. There's an affliction that men have to deal with, the male problem, which is the sex desire plagues the whole universe, even the demigods. So you have to take as your occupational duty in life to wrestle with this monster. Rather than just, well, hey, that's the way it is. You know, either avoid the challenge or don't even consider the challenge at all. Just consider, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. Because men have no sense control, they have no honor, no integrity. Basically, they have no brains these days. It's not so much that the women are so powerful these days. No, it's because the men have become so weak. So therefore, the women automatically seem to be more powerful because the men have become so weak. And also, the women also think, the men, what kind of shelter can they provide? So we might as well look after ourselves and become feisty and assertive. Therefore, the key to resolving this situation is to strengthen the men. Regardless of whatever ashram they're going to choose, married or single, we need strong men. A strong man is one who recognizes the need to control the senses as a prime occupation in life. You should understand, it's not that the material energy is just going to tell you, okay, go ahead and be Krishna conscious, I won't bother you. No, your mind and body will be assaulted. That's part of the environmental commotion. You have to take that as a given. Living in the material world means provocation. You're always going to be provoked. So you have to learn how to handle that. You have to meditate on what your mission is. Otherwise, you can easily be blown away. So number one, you have to learn how to deal with being provoked, being agitated. And number two, you have to learn how to protect your strength, protect your intelligence, how to take shelter of devotional service in the holy name. In every ashram, any ashram, you have to know how to do that. If we can develop a men's community of strength, character, and integrity, it'll make such a difference. So many of the problems, social problems you see, are because the men are wimpy. They have no backbone. Spineless. If we can actually build men of character, dignity, and self-respect, you'll see a huge difference. But there can only be self-respect if the men can control their senses. You have to do that no matter what ashram you're going to take. If you become a householder, as soon as a woman knows you can't control your senses, she has no respect for you. They just consider, well, who are you to think you're the pillar of the home? We know where you're at. So movement of our eyebrow, and you know, you just tumble to the ground. And then you want to be the big protector and make all the big decisions. That's the way it works. So we need to create men of fortitude, stamina, and determination to wrestle with the monster of the male sex desire. It's a calling. It's an occupation. All the ashramas are defined in terms of that wrestling. Whether you're to be a brahmachari, grihastha, grihastha eventually takes vanaprastha, or brahmachari or grihastha may in the future become a sannyasi. All four ashrams are defined in relationship to sex. In three ashrams, there's none. In one, it's limited. That lets you know what the point is. That lets you know the nature of the beast that you're dealing with. It's a very cruel monster. It promises everything and just smashes you to pieces. It promises relief, satisfaction, something to do at least. Some way to pass the time. And you're simply entangled more and more in material nature. You lament, you feel so frustrated, you feel very empty inside. That's all the result of consorting with the material energy. We want to constantly look at this theme, because if the men don't get it together, it's very difficult for most ladies to establish themselves in spiritual life when they marry. So much of marriage depends on a strong man. But if the men aren't strong, then how are we going to have strong families or strong brahmacharis, future sannyasis? The whole social system just collapses because of lack of strong men. I'm hoping that you will all take this challenge and think about how you can execute it. It is a life's mission. I agree. It takes concentration. It takes effort. It takes determination. It takes some pushing, some energy. But if you can master yourself, master your mind and senses, what an achievement. Just think, spend all your life and then birth after birth under the grip of material desires. Crack the whip on you. It's a miserable life. To be always held prisoner by the fever of lust. But if you can work to free yourself, then that's such a significant gain in your life. So whatever way of dealing with the monster you're heading for, the fact is the monster has to be dealt with. Some of you will choose to deal with the monster as brahmacharis. Others will choose to deal with the monster as a grihastha. Some of you are undecided. But you have to accept the point that the monster has to be dealt with, and it's going to take energy. It's not something, it's not a situation you just, you know, wave your hand and, okay, it'll be all right. You're dealing with a fierce tiger, lion, and you have to be on guard, and you have to be able to defend yourself. It takes energy, concentration. It's a lifetime mission. But if you can free yourself from the grip of this monster, then life finally becomes peaceful. You can remember what it was like when you were a little kid before puberty struck. How simple life was then. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Life became so complicated. So, let's be practical. Let's be honest. Let's be realistic about the dangers that we're dealing with. This dangerous monster. It's going to take, you know, a full-time commitment. The ashram system of four ashramas is meant to bring out that full-time commitment in dealing with the monster. different styles between the different ashrams, but still the monster has to be dealt with. You have to know how to slug back. When Maya slugs you, you've got to know how to slug back. Maybe you remember when you were younger. If some little kid, when you were a little kid, some little kid would just walk up to you and slug you, you probably just slug the kid back, you know? That's how you have to deal with the monster. You can't just like, oh, I've been hit. Oh, desires are coming upon me. Oh no, what to do? Maya takes a slug at you, form of sex desire. You take a slug back, okay. I'll just chant more. I'll just read more. I'll just absorb myself into oral service. Take that. You have to have some, you have to have some kind of even sporting response. You know, I'm not going to let you just push me around like that. Then you arm yourself with Krishna's instructions. Arm yourself with yoga, as Krishna told Arjuna, and fight back. You just can't be casual about it. Well, I guess that's just the way it is, We're always going to feel sex desire. I guess it's just part of this world. And from there, you get even more ridiculous. Well, I mean, God gave us these bodies to enjoy. Because that's the conclusion, If God didn't want us to do it, then why did He make it possible? No. Krishna has given so many instructions how to handle the monster. But we only accept the lust, but we don't accept the instructions on how to handle the lust, how to deal with it, how to purify it. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is about transforming the lust into pure love. That alchemy takes some work. So the men should understand what they're getting into. Especially these days, you're bombarded at all times. Everywhere you go, it's thrown in your face, right? The music, the billboards, the people on the street. It's just thrown in your face all the time. You have to know how to protect yourself, how to vaccinate yourself, how to pull yourself out of trouble. This is all part of advancing in Krishna consciousness. You've got to know how to handle yourself in the material world and not just be a pushover. Maybe when you were little, in your neighborhoods, they had some guys who would always make fun of the nice boys. They would challenge you. And the nice boys would cry. You had guys like that in your neighborhood? You'd run to your mother. And the guys would laugh at you. I remember when I was about 12 years old. At school, there was this one guy. He wasn't big, he was short, but he had his equivalent of a gang. I mean, he had like three other guys who you can rely on. So we were all lined up for lunch in the school cafeteria. So he would just go up the whole line of students, and he would just walk up and stick out his foot, wipe his foot on your pants, and then look you in the eye like, what are you going to do with that? Then you just go to the next student and look like, never had any guys like that in school? Yeah? And then, if you got real angry, he'd challenge you to fight. And then I know one of my friends, he took him on, and then he was beating him, But then the guy, he cheated. He called his two or three friends to help him out, So all four of them jumped, they jumped the John Piper ended on. Of course, he couldn't handle four guys. So, Maya does this to you in the form of sex desire. Just walks up to you and wipes her foot on you.
What are you going to do?
Fry out now. Your brain just sizzling. You've got to do something. You've got to score. And this way you become miserable. Your brain becomes dull. You go deeper into the bodily conception of life. We don't want to go any deeper. We want to go the other way. We want to get out, not go deeper in. So let us look at some verses spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev. This is the fifth canto, chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. Yada napasyat yat yayata gunehung swate pramatta sahasa vipaschit katasmitir vindati tatra tapan asajya maitunyam agaram. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. So let us think about this verse spoken by Lord Rishabhdev. You may be considered learned and wise in the eyes of society, but you are actually a madman if you can't understand that endeavoring for sense gratification uselessly waste your time. This requires some thought. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you should be meditating on this. But why don't I think that? I'm mad if I don't understand the endeavor for sense gratification is useless waste of time? Really? I mean, you know, is it that bad? You've got to challenge yourself. In challenging yourself, as you read the Bhagavatam, you'll become purified. I just don't really feel that way. After all, a little sense gratification, it seems harmless. Mad? Useless waste of time? Then you start to consider. Being forgetful of my own interest, I try to be happy in the material world. Centering my interests around the home, which is based on sexual intercourse, which brings all kinds of material miseries. In this way, I'm no better than a foolish animal. How could that be? Now, of course, the Bhagavatam is referring to a standard material human civilization here. In a standard material human civilization, there is a home, there is marriage. Now you don't even have that. You just have animal life. The Bhagavatam is teaching you that material home life and marriage without Krishna consciousness is a royal edition of animal life. Now there's no royal edition, it's just animal life. All the polish is off, as we've discussed. So just try to understand how low the situation is now. The male dream is what? To have steady sense gratification available on demand. That's the male illusion. Let there be comfortable, ample sense gratification at my beck and call. That's what a man considers home. I'll have my workshop or my computer room, and I'll have my widescreen TV to watch some sports or whatever. And then the rest of the house is dedicated to carnality, sense gratification. That's what makes a home. This is what makes a jungle. So the man considers, you know, when there's a woman around who's providing the physical stimulations, then that's comfort. That's peace. We hear Lord Rishabdev explain it. This is madness. Now, why is it madness? The next verses are going to discuss that. But let's look a bit at the purport of this verse. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. You have to understand it, not just mouth the slogan. You know, you have to try to understand with our intelligence. Being forgetful of your own interest. You try to be happy in the material world. Well, what is your own interest? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Advanced in knowledge is not referring to bhakti knowledge, it's referring to ordinary knowledge of the world, or even Vedic knowledge of pious activities, punya. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his householder life, which is centered around sexual indulgence. That is a fact. Whether it's the traditional marriage system, which is now old-fashioned, or it's the today's world of the partners, you know, changing partners. Still, the reality is the same. It's all centered around sex. Now, this next sentence, I always found great value from. I remember reading it for the first time when I was editing the fifth canto, 1975. Try to visualize this. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Right? Poetic choice of words. Conceding to a life of sex. You know what it means to concede? Alright, well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. Yeah. Let it happen, you know? But what you're doing when you concede to that life of sex, you're signing on the dotted line. Yes, I'll accept so many miseries. It's alright. Now think about that. Conceding to a life of sex, you agree to suffer so many miseries. It all comes together. It's all part of the same deal. Have you ever conceded to something? All right. I'll do that. All right, I'll agree. Okay. That's conceding. It's like in a, I don't know about the sports you play here, rugby or cricket or whatever, but are there some sports where you know, when you see you can't win, you just concede the match? Yeah. And what happens then?
Sometimes it's very confusing.
But what? You just say, when you concede, you just end the match.
We can't possibly win. Let's stop.
Okay.
Let's stop. You win, basically. Yeah.
Right. So, okay. You say that to sex desire. Well, I can't possibly defeat you. I guess I just have to get into it. And what you're actually doing is signing on the dotted line. Let the miseries come. But you don't see that. You just think, well, I can see, you know. Worse things could happen than my conceding to this. And you don't see that you simultaneously are agreeing to suffer so many miseries. How are you going to see that? You have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because you won't hear it from material nature. You won't hear from the so-called wise and knowledgeable persons of today, whose knowledge is and wisdom is only material. You won't hear this kind of education from them. You can't understand this even by experience, because if you try to learn by experience, you'll be bewildered. Contact with passion and ignorance bewilders you. You suffer, but you can't see the cause. And things get so bewildering that even your suffering from your attempts to enjoy sex life, and then you turn to sex life to, you know, soothe your wounds, and then life really gets bewildering. Then you have to combine some intoxication with that. And this way, you're completely down at the bottom of the pit. We want to give the men the tools to stand up and fight this monster. Then there'll be peace. Then there can be happiness. Otherwise... So please remember this statement. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material laws. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita explains there's no activity that is more complete in its binding function than the male consorting with a female. That is the number one way to shackle yourself. That's why the Vedic lifestyle restricts it or kicks it out completely. Because you're dealing with the most powerful binding rope of material nature. Let's discuss more of Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. Pum sat striya mituni bhavametam tayor mito hridaya grantam ahu ato griha chetra sutta vittaya janasya moho yam aham mameti. Very famous verse here. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. This verse is often quoted. I shall probably quote it in Bhagavatam Purports. Bhumsastiya mituni bhavavetam. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. If you're looking for the basic principle, there it is. That's ground zero. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts, you can just see a rope between the two hearts. The tight knot forming once, twice, thrice, four times. Very difficult to untangle. So on the basis of that hard knot in the heart, the Hridaya Granthi, you think I and this body and things in relation to the body are mine. And you push on your whole life in that way. Let me work in that understanding. I'll get money. I'll support my bodily conception of life. I'll support your bodily conception of life. Let's have a big family. I'll support the whole family's bodily conception of life. Very tragic. We'll read from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, he's talking about marriage here these days, you know. In other words, you don't, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about civilized material life. You don't even have that these days. When they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there's a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo. Even though a man and woman separate, either for principles of varnashrama or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman, and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Sanghita, it is stated, Brahmajya Yajyavakajya Muchyante Sri Sahayana Bodayante Kechanaite Sam Visheshang Cha Vido Vidu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities, like Lord Brahma, that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. But now you have worse. You don't even have just the knots of the marital relationship. You have just everything is loose and unrestricted, which makes the whole problem even worse. If you have real human civilization, there must be family, marriage. When you break that down, then you just have complete animal life. So the reality these days is worse than what you hear. These purports are speaking about the standard civilization with standard families, marriage. But now you don't even have that. It's every person for himself or herself. It's a jungle, like we saw in the Predators DVD. Some of you still think that was the most powerful presentation, the Predators, or you thought the In the Womb, which, or something else. Which one was the most powerful?
In the Womb.
In the Womb. How many say In the Womb? How many say the Predators? All right. I showed, I did the In the Womb presentation at the retreat last weekend in Melbourne. So please think about this. What is your plan for dealing with the basic principle of material existence? What's your plan? How are you going to cope? Are you just going to have a la-di-da attitude? Yeah, live in la-la land? Yeah, well, I feel attraction to this one, and she feels attraction to me, and whatever, you know. I guess we'll just work it out somehow, yeah. That's the way life's going to be. No, you have to have a master plan, and you have to work on that plan every day. It requires an activist attitude. You have to be proactive. You can't just go to sleep on the job. Married or not, you have to fight the same monster. Some men conclude, since I've got to fight the same monster, whether I'm married or not, I might as well just, you know, fight and not have any relationship with the monster. Others feel, well, I can't just do without completely, so I have to deal with the monster in a therapeutic way. Let me try to get over the disease by having the disease treated therapeutically. So then, such men, they live with a woman for the purpose of trying to get out of Maya, not to go deeper into Maya. That's a challenge. It's also a challenge to completely do without. That's a big challenge. So one way or another, you're going to challenge yourself. Some of you, most of you, you're in the stage where you're preparing for one challenge or another. I mean, a few of you are embarking on your challenge, chosen your course. You're going to go into that situation of living with a woman, but you hopefully will be committed to doing it in a therapeutic way. A way that you become purified and not putrefied. But it'll take work, It'll take planning. It'll take strategy. It'll take dedication, knowledge, detachment. And then some of you haven't decided. You're building your strength. And then you'll choose how you're going to fight. Fight this way or that way. And maybe even a few, some of you have decided to take the Brihad Vrata, the great vow of just saying, forget the whole thing. It's not worth it. Household life requires work, generally speaking. Unless you somehow or other have a desire to live very simply and you find a wife who wants to live very simply, but that doesn't happen so often. The very Sanskrit word stri for women lets you know what's going to go on. Expansion. Things have to expand. The bodily conception has to expand. But sometimes, if the ladies are very dedicated in Krishna consciousness, they can choose to expand on the Krishna consciousness platform. Let's go to text 9. Yadamano hridaya granti asya karmanubhaddo dritta ashlateta tadajana samparivartate smad mukta param yat yatihaya edam. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principles of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Then one goes to the transcendental world. So it is possible to loosen that hard knot in the heart. It can become slack. It is possible for a person implicated in material life to feel that hard knot in the heart become slack. What does this mean, implicated in material life? I'm sure you've all seen movies or TV shows where some innocent person gets implicated in some crime. You're walking down the street and it happens to be a robbery right next to you, and then the police come and they grab everyone. So you're implicated, even though you had no intention. So material nature is like that. You become implicated in material nature. Just by your being present within material nature, you get implicated. Strange things happen. Things you didn't plan for. That expression, life is what happens while you're busy making plans. You're implicated. Why did this happen to me? I'm innocent. No, you're not innocent because you chose to jump into material nature. If you're innocent, you stay out of material nature. But because you're in material nature, you're always going to be implicated. And then, once you're implicated, you complain, why this injustice happened to me? It's not fair. Maybe already some of you have been through situations where your heart just cried out, why, it's not fair. Yes? I know one congregational member, Krishna consciousness, from Russia. He was at school and university studying in Russia. He was like the top. He was the top geek, without a doubt. You know, even now he has a job. He's governments hire him to break into their systems and show that their security is faulty. It's like now he's in France with the French are designing an ID card with a chip in it. And so they flew him into France and they said, can you crack this? Can you duplicate it? And just came back the next day, and just blew their whole, thing apart. They were just like shocked, know, if they had a foolproof system, you know. Yeah, he's like a Maha hacker, you know. He's so good that, you know, governments, you know, they hire him to, you know, banks hire him. Can you break into a, you know, our system? Each time they all think, oh no, we got it down, you know, everything is, you know, it's fail proof. You know, he just takes a few hours and just breaks his way in, and they're just, you know. So anyway, he was the top hack, the top geek at his university in Russia. So he was, they don't so much have, you know, their own computers there. It's very expensive. So they, you know, they all work in a computer lab. So he was at his terminal doing something. And then he went up to go to the bathroom. And so then someone sat down at the computer where he was at and put in a virus or something that crashed the university's system completely. So, you know, naturally they investigated, who did this? And, you know, they found, well, it's from you, the computer you were at that particular time of the day. You did it. So they kicked him out of school. Yeah, that was the end of his illustrious career. He was all ready to enter the KGB as a computer sleuth. And, you know, it was finished. And he'd say, why? It's not fair. It's life in the material world. So everyone's had something like that happen to them. Just like on the retreat weekend, we saw the 9/11 documentary. That's the pro-government version. But, you know, it's, yeah, there's a whole other side, you know. Even on December 16th, it was on primetime TV in New Zealand. The whole expose. Yeah, it was an expose documentary filmed in the USA. They put it on nationwide TV twice in Australia in December. You know, and they showed it also in New Zealand. So, but they didn't show it in the USA. So anyway, people get so upset. You know, why this cheating? We can't believe it. The hypocrisy. What's going on? That's the way the world is. Because we are implicated in material existence, these things come our way. The only solution is to get out of material existence, not to try to make a peace treaty with material nature. You can't do it. You got to get out. So the Krishna conscious process is for getting out of material nature. You can't negotiate with material nature. So, how does the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life do the result of past action? How is that strong knot slackened? How do you turn away from attachment to home, wife, and children and give up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine? How do you become liberated? How do you go to the transcendental world? We hear in the purport, when, by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material concept due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus, one can get freed from conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. The whole bhakti process is for slackening that hard knot in the heart, so you can untie the knot. I had the experience just yesterday when I was in Melbourne. After I showered and, you know, put on, you know, my clothes, I tied the knot in my copings too tight. And so then later, in the day when I showered again, I couldn't untie it, you know. It's just too tight. I couldn't. You know, I had to call Krishnagraja. Took a whole effort to untie the knot. Just think about the hard knot in the heart. How does it become slack? How can you finally get your fingers in there and untangle it? by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, you're gradually freed from the material conception of life. So we want to create here an association of sadhus. I know none of you are thinking, oh, I could be a sadhu. But that's what the process is all about. So we want to have our sadhu training program. Whether you're a householder, brahmachari, or undecided, we want you to become a saintly person. And then by your association, others can have the hard knot in their heart slacken. So don't just live for yourself, also live to affect others. And Krishna will help you. All right, any questions? Yes.
Just one that might be silly. I was thinking about an old Greek story about Alexander and the Jordan knot and the knot in the heart. You're saying you can be slammed and untied. I was wondering if you could cheat like he did and cut it in half with a sword.
I don't know the story, but what's the point, though?
The point of the story was there was this knot that was meant to be untiable. You couldn't untie it. It was just too tangled up. And whoever could untangle it, he was going to become emperor of all the emperor and whatnot, so he just cut it in half with a sword. That was his kind of attitude. And I was just wondering.
Yes, this is stated in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Bidyate hridaya grantas. The hard knot in the heart is cut by the sword of knowledge and detachment.
Thanks, Maharaj.
Yeah. You have to develop your strength to be able to hold that sword, make that slice. That kind of strength is developed gradually. Just like you, gradually you walked away from your hellish situation, right?
Yep. Very worth it.
One thing I've realized is that don't think that you've got it all figured out, how material nature can be ruled. You've got to hear Bhagavatam every day. Every day you've got to hear, because the power of material nature to cover your intelligence is so great, it's beyond your conception how easily you could be covered. That's why we have regular hearing, regular chanting. Every day you've got to take your dose, because you can be covered over so quickly. We're so tiny. That's why Srila Prabhupada has given us this daily process of hearing and chanting by Krishna. This is a serious situation. Anything else? Wherever there is sex desire, you'll never have peace. You have to understand that. You have to stop. I think I told you this before. Stop looking outside and look within. You've got to make your peace within. You can be in the most quote-unquote tranquil place in the world, living in the country. But what do you brought with you there? What have you brought to the peaceful place in the country? Your own mind. That's what's causing the commotion. That's what's causing the hecticness. Your own mind. This is why Prahlad Maharaj, speaking to his father in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, says, you may have conquered all the directions, this way, that way, this way, that way. You've conquered in every direction, but you haven't conquered within. Therefore, your life's a waste. You have to learn how to make peace with yourself. Attentive chanting of Hare Krishna. It's a common mistake beginning devotees make, is to always look on the external environment. Well, is this, is that, the other. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy. So the process of bhakti means making your mind into your friend. Otherwise, you can juggle external arrangements all your life, but you won't find any peace. You think, oh, I'll get a nice spot in the country, and then the mosquitoes will drive you crazy. Oh, I'll get some, you know, mosquito repellent, mosquito spray, then I'll be... Something else happens. That's the way it is in this world. This is a world of disturbance. Kunta. There's Vaikuntha, the world without anxiety, and there's the world of Kunta anxiety. So unless you get to the root cause, you're always going to be on edge, blaming others around you. In fact, the material mind likes to look for persons to blame. Could it be, yeah, you're the one. It's because of you. Yes, I don't have peace. Yes, yes. And then on an international scale, one nation points to another. It's like the USA is pointing the finger at China. What are you doing, you know, making weapons in space, blowing up satellites, you know, disturbing world peace. So, you've got to make peace with it. I remember, what was this? In the 70s, he was a kind of a famous radical politician during the student activist days in the 70s in New Zealand. And recently, I think he became mayor of Invercargill.
Was it Shibo?
When he was, I read about it. When he was at University of Auckland, he was a big radical leader, you know, down with society. And then he decided, forget the university stuff. You know, my wife, you know, they were still getting married those days. My wife and I were going to, you know, get a farm outside the city. We're just going to live naturally, you know. So he went and did that. And he described how there he was on his, you know, small farm, 20-acre farm, no heat. And he and his wife were out in the garden, you know, no clothes on because natural, you know. No electricity, no running water, just a bare house and, you know, just, you know, back to nature, you know, living in a way to challenge, you know, society. And he just, I was reading, he just said, there I was in the garden with no clothes on, and I just realized, what the hell am I doing? It's not even a radio for me to listen to. What am I doing? What the hell is the point? He said he just immediately put on some clothes, piled their few belongings into a car, drove with his family back to the city, you know. Your mind just, you know, screams at you. What are you doing? Too peaceful. So you have to make peace with the Hare Krishna mantra. Make peace with devotional service. Otherwise, wherever you go, it will be problematic. You'll take the problem with you. The problem is the mind. Humility means to accept that point. Arrogance means you always blame someone or something around you. So we want men of character. It's going to be a battle, but it's worthy. It's a worthy cause. You're about to ask. Yeah.
If you always stick to strong association, especially with senior devotees who have very strong stance in this regard, then I guess we're in a much safer position.
Yes, but you also have to live your life. Yes, but you associate with strong devotees. But that association means you are going to apply in your own life what the stronger are doing. Strong devotees are strong because of attachment to sadhana and a spirit of selfless sacrifice. And they have a deep interest in trying to understand Krishna, trying to understand devotional service, how to please Krishna, how to please spiritual master. That's their heart and soul. That's where the strength comes from. So, for our next gathering, please analyze your own life and see where are you heading in terms of dealing with the monster. What arrangements are you going to make to challenge the monster, rescue your life? All right. So we'll have class tomorrow morning, because I don't want to keep you so late. You know, just something to think about. Now you're all thinking, yeah, I see clearly. But what happens? Every day, the material energy tries to cover you over. So every day, you got to fight back. Get used to it. There's no, like, you know, magic wand that's, okay, now you don't have to hear this anymore. Now you don't have to, you know, hear this from the Bhagavatam anymore. You heard it once, you understood, presto. It doesn't work like that. Every day you have to hear. You have to take your vaccination every day, your supplements every day. Otherwise you'll easily become weak. We must appreciate the covering and deluding power of material nature. Okay? All right. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.